This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Boy, when the rest come back, y'all tell them how to do it, because that was awesome, man. I love it. Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Don't turn there yet. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I skipped ahead. Romans chapter 12. And as we talk about worship, I have a couple questions for you. Is worship an individual thing or a corporate thing? Is worship vocal or is it an act? Really kind of all of the above, and we'll see how that gets answered in just a little bit here over our time together today. It's individual. We can worship individually and we can worship corporately. We can worship vocally through our words and our singing. We can worship through our actions. And again, we'll get into that in just a little bit here. But I love looking at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember that word sacrifice. We'll hear that a few times today. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He desires for us to worship Him. And He says right there how we can do that and through what means that we can do that. If we are to worship God, surely we must value and treasure who and what God is. If we truly worship Him, we will value Him and treasure Him for who and what He is. Right? Amen. Matthew 15. Now we can get to Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. And this to me is a constant reminder of where we can get to. And that's not a good thing. Where we can get to if we're not careful. Well, the last one as well. Don't be a part of the world, but be changed by the renewing or the transforming of your mind. Don't conform to the world. This in Matthew 15, 8 and 9 says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. That's not the bad part, by the way. But their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's the bad part, that when we do it with our lips, but all of a sudden our hearts are far from Him. We distance ourselves from Him in our heart. Because we can sit here all day long and praise and worship Him through singing and song. Is it possible to worship Him with just lip service? Not true worship. But He's saying right here, oh, here's what they do. And it's just lip service. To God and to Jesus, that's just vain worship. Man, we're doing this, and God help us. I watched a video one time of a worship service, and it was in a huge gathering. And don't you know, there were a handful of people, you can tell as the camera panned over the crowd, they were more concerned about where that camera was. They followed that camera, they followed and it got on them, and then they just decided, then they wanted to go, and they wanted to get into it. We do the same thing. We can sing, we can lift our hands, we can attend every service. But you know what that means to God and Jesus? Zippo. It means nothing to them. We have no heart or no dimension if we're just doing it for the external appearance, either to God or to each other. And I don't mean specifically in here when I say that. I'm talking about generally as Christians. We want people to think how holy we are, and so we lift our hands, we sing, and we attend, and we attend, and we attend. But there's no heart or dimension to our worship. As we read on, we'll discover how important that heart is to us. Our actions and our words have no heart. Jesus, when he talked to the people, said, it's all external, nothing internal. You have no heart, mind, body, or soul behind your worship. It is just the external things that you do. Jesus, in this scripture, Matthew 15, he tells them, defilement comes from within. It comes from within, and then what we do is try and externalize it vainly. And we play dress up, pretend. John chapter 4, this is where we'll spend most of today, but John chapter 4 has a great story. And it tells us a great story about a Samaritan woman. And she meets Jesus, and there's a call to worship. There's a call for worshipers to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Two separate things, but in spirit and in truth. It becomes a heart thing again. It becomes a heart thing from within. John chapter 4, verse 1. Actually, I won't start in 1. I'm going to start in verse 6. And it says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he was there alone with this woman and said, give me a drink. She came to get water. And Jesus said, give me a drink. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And I want to stop there just for a minute. As she's going to get water, and Jesus says, what? Bring me some. In Ground Zero, we were studying Elijah the last 2 weeks. And we read the story of the lady who had just a little bit of substance at her home. And Elijah said, go make me a cake first. She said, just enough for my son and I. I'll go home, make it, and then we'll die. And Elijah said, make me one first. Could you imagine? And the Samaritan woman, could you imagine? She's going to get water. And Jesus says, hey, get me some. And she says, who in the world are you? First of all, I'm coming to do this. But secondly, as a Jew, why are you having any dealings with me, a Samaritan woman? In verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And I love this. He's trying to explain to her, and it's not just the physical water, but man, the Father gives you living water. Life-sustaining water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? You see, this well was special from Joseph. And all his family and livestock have come and drawn from this well time and time again. And she's saying, what in the world is this that you think you're bigger than him, the man that gave us the well? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, we can read these things, but we have to pay attention. That water that Jesus Christ is to our souls is living water. It can continue to spring forth in us so that we can then share it with other people. And then we can give them life-saving water through Jesus Christ. it's not just for her, but it's also for her to pass on. We have to look further than just ourselves. Jesus, what can you do for me? I can make you great to many other people. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to be obedient and follow what I have you to do so that I can use you to be great to and for other people? It has to go beyond us. And again, we'll get to that in a minute, because service also is action. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Of course, Jesus, knowing things about her that she doesn't understand, said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman, amazed, of course, said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus spoke to her, and I love what he says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Listen carefully. Why? "For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Oh my goodness, He's looking for us. He is looking for us. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes..." I love this. "When He comes, He will tell us all things." Can you imagine her when Jesus responded and said, "I who speak to you am He"? I who speak to you am He. She knows the Messiah is coming. She knows there's something special about this man. "I perceive that you are a prophet." He knows things about her that she hasn't told him. And she simply says, "When the Messiah comes, He'll tell us all things." And he says, "I am He. I'm the one you're looking for." You know, when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, I believe in our daily walk, it will be evident to others. It'll be evident to others that we worship in spirit and that we worship in truth, that it's not just lip service, but it will be evident. How in the world is it going to be evident? Our mouth. You see, our mouth will be different. It will no longer be lip service. "I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'll pray for you." All great things, if they are true and from the heart. Not so great if it's just an external thing that we say and do and go through the motions. "I'll pray for you." But through praise and prayer and repentance and true worship, all coming from an abundance of the heart. And that's why we say it'll come from an abundance of joy in our heart. You see, joy is something we have from God. He puts that in our heart. It's not based on our circumstances. But when our heart is filled with joy, our mouth, the words that come out of our mouth, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love that. We speak differently, but we also praise differently. I listen to those songs time and time again, and many other songs. And I think, boy, I wish I had that skill or that equipment or whatever. But I thought, sometimes what's different about those worshipers is how they worship. There is nobody bold, or there is nobody timid standing on stage singing in front of people. I don't think I'm timid because I don't mind speaking to you guys. I just think I'm untalented enough to sing. There's a difference, but I'll certainly worship Him. Man, I get over here sometimes playing, and my legs get to shaking, and my hands get shaking. And man, I am just empowered by the music, by the words, by the song, by the leading, by the others playing, by you all responding and singing back. And I absolutely worship. The worship music here gets me prepared for the message here. And it is so, to me, it's so fundamental that I do both. And I know at one point when our founding pastor, Jack Eldred, retired, he said, you might think about doing one or the other because it takes a lot. And I thought, I don't think I can do one without the other. And I thought, I love that. Because all that does is fire me up for this. Amen. But at the same token, listening and just being able to sit and listen today. Some of those songs are hard for me to play. Those chords are just, oh, they're tough. Not for Susie, but for me, they're tough. I thought, oh, what is that chord? Oh, my goodness. And sometimes you see it in my face. It's focusing a lot on that sometimes, and I hate when it pulls me away from worshiping. But I'm trying to practice a little more often these days and get better at that so that I can worship as I play. Got off track, I'm sorry. All this coming from an abundance of a truly joyful heart. That will change the way we speak to one another. You know, the Bible talks about different things we do when we worship. We can edify one another. We can lift one another up. We can encourage one another. Oh my goodness, I love Advent. Hope, peace, joy, love. Those things that we should be doing throughout the year and focusing on throughout the year. But our words are the things that can bring those out in other people. And those things will help shine through in us when we speak to other people. Remember Matthew 15, it said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts, or their heart, is far from me. Jesus knew that. It was no big secret. Marriages, poor marriages, when they dissolve sometimes, is for the same reason. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You see, I'm sorry, I just spoke those words to you, honey, but I didn't feel it in here. It was just lip service. And marriages struggle. It's a heart thing. Hang on. Oh, good. I have it later in my notes. I won't jump ahead and ruin that surprise then. It can't just be lip service. We have to feel it in our heart. For that marriage to survive. A heart thing. What will come out? Our words. Oh, okay. Our heart condition affects true worshipers. It affects our marriages. Well, what's the second thing then? If our heart is right, it affects our words. I love you, honey. If our heart is right, it affects our actions. Oh, now I can show you how I love you. When our heart is right, it fixes our mouth. When we worship Him in spirit and in truth, it'll be evident through our mouth, our words, and our actions. Those are the two things Christians have that can separate them. Okay, we have the resurrection of Christ. That's the biggest thing that separates us from other religions. But I'm saying that people can see right through our words and actions when we say we're a Christian and then we treat them like junk. Our actions, our heart condition reflects how and when, listen carefully, how and when we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Ooh, what does that mean? What are we willing to sacrifice for the good of others? Ooh, Adam, please don't go there today. Adam, could you do this over next week when everyone returns from vacation? They may need to hear. I don't know. Our heart condition reflects, listen, not just how, but how and when we're the hands and feet of Jesus. When is the important thing? Oh, it's always an inconvenience. I'm busy. What do you do? Well, I watch TV from 3 to 5, and then from 5 to 6 I eat, and then from 6 to 8 I watch TV again, and then I rest from 8 to 9, and then I go to bed from 9 to whatever. Our heart condition reflects how and when we are the hands and feet of Jesus and what we are willing to sacrifice for the good of others. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 13. Verse 15 and 16. It says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. And sacrifice in the beginning of that, sacrifice at the end of that, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. Don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. It becomes evident in our day-to-day walk. For others to see and understand and witness how we are behaving as Christ followers, as ambassadors or representatives of Christ, as Christians, as disciples, students of His teaching. Twice sacrifice is mentioned there. He tells us do good. Hang in there, we're close to the end. Not quite there, but we're getting close. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's a familiar verse. Galatians 6, 9. And it says, "And let us not grow weary." When? "While doing good." Why? "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Don't lose heart while doing good. Now it does go on one more verse and says, in verse 10, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good." To who? Or to whom? I don't know what it is. But it's to all. Let us do good to all. But then it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It tells us, be generous and do good. Again, as Christ followers, as true worshipers, it's going to be evident. It's going to be evident in our words that we speak to one another and in our actions. How and when do we go out of our way for others? Now, this is what I was going to say earlier. The doorway to the heart is your mind. Okay? Because it's going to be awfully hard to get it in here if this isn't going to let it through. I want to do good, but my mind says, I don't need to do good. They're my enemy. They've hurt me before. They've challenged me. They've upset me. They've something. We can't have that. The doorway to the heart is your mind. We have to clear this thing. We have to renew this thing. We have to understand this thing up here and allow it. Turn the key and allow that gate to open to get in our heart. I love kind and generous and good Christians. And I'm amazed at how many times we see on videos, on the news, whatever, just in person in life, Christian people who, man, it's not right here. It's not right here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'll read it again. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When, you know, my wife and I haven't watched the news in a year and a half or more. It's just, it's too much. Well, how do you know what's going on in the world? We're kind of insulated from it a little bit, and life's pretty good right now. Okay? I mean, life's pretty good for us right now. Well, do you know what's going on in the community, in the state, in the nation, in the world? No, but I tell you what, I do know what's going on in my household, and it's a good thing. Don't be conformed to this cruel and evil and negative and prideful and all these different names we could attach to it, world, that it can be if we look hard enough to find those things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we allow our mind to be renewed, then all of a sudden we start transforming that world, and then we get those feel-good stories on the news. Oh my goodness, look, this happened here. This person did this today. We are afraid to be transformed. We are afraid and fearful to be transformed into what God wants us to be, because we're afraid what that'll look like. Now, I don't get it. I don't get it, man. He's God Almighty. He knows everything. He's got the perfect plan. But for some reason we are fearful to be the person God wants us to be so many times. I'm afraid to listen to Him. I'm afraid to do that for fear He may change the life that I'm comfortable with right now. Oh, okay, so you truly don't want to follow God. And you don't want to be in God's will and follow His will. Well, of course I do. Wait a minute, you just said you don't want to conform all the way. Oh no, it's that sacrifice. Oh no. We may have to bow down to Him. We may have to give our entire life to Him. And today, let's just focus on worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Let's understand that the doorway to the heart is through the mind. And we've got to loosen up some things in here, and we've got to let them go. Things we're hanging on to, things that aren't good, that are blocking the pathway for good stuff to make it to our heart. We've got to renew that constantly. Be transformed by the renewing, a constant and repeated thing, renewing of the mind, every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that hearts are open today, that minds are loosed today, Lord. The things that hold good stuff from making it into the heart, making it a joyful heart. Lord, I pray that our mind is opened to allow things to get down into the heart. Lord, I pray today. I pray today that we seek to become true worshipers in spirit and in truth. Because Your desire is for us to be gathered together. Your Word says You are seeking such to worship You. Lord, help us as we gather next week and the week after and a year down the road and 5 years down the road to worship You truly in spirit and in truth. To worship You boldly. Lord, that we can be free through worship. Lord, that worship allows us to be renewed and refreshed. That worship helps us to renew our mind. Lord, I pray today that the renewing of our mind is a daily thing for us. It's a daily and intentional activity that we set about to do, so that we do not become callous and cold. We do not become conformed to this world. Lord, it says You're seeking us. You're seeking us. You're looking for us to be true worshipers. I just pray today that we're found by You. Lord, that when we show up to worship You, when we show up to worship You, Lord, You say, I who You seek am He. I am here. Father, I pray that our worship becomes bigger and greater. I pray that our worship becomes freer. My God, I pray that our worship becomes evident to others. They see us, they hear us, they understand it is our way of life. And not just simply lip service or flattery for you or for them. God, that we are in your presence. God, we are in your presence. We welcome you in our presence, and we are welcomed in your presence. God, today I pray that people are free from burdens, free from sin, free from condemnation, freed from regret, from anger, from hurt, from humiliation, free from judgment. Through worship today, Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.